Let's take our Bibles this morning. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We're going to start reading in verse 14. We're going to go through the end of the chapter this morning. Romans chapter 10, and verse 14. We'll ask another question and find our answer from the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. After we're told, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," it says in verse 14, "Well, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you that we can be here this morning and that we can take some time and spend it in your word. And Lord, help our hearts to be open and us to be ready to listen for what you have for us today. Lord, may we be ready to accept your word and to live for you. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you show us and what you do this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, we've been talking about this whole concept of salvation for quite some time now. And the Bible says God has made a plan for salvation. God has made a way for us to be saved, and it's always been God's goal for every single person to be with him in heaven, right? That's the end goal for us, is that God would get us to heaven, we can glorify him and be with him forever. But we know that in order to do that, God needs to make us righteous. So last Sunday, we went through part of the beginning of Romans chapter 10, and we saw a couple things. One, we said that, well, that means that in order for us to be righteous, we need Jesus Christ to come to this earth to die for us, right? He has to take our sins on the cross so that our sins can be forgiven. Jesus did that, right? That's already done for us. Jesus was our sinless sacrifice. Then we also said, well, we need also Jesus Christ to rise from the dead so that he can intercede for us. And God took care of that because Jesus Christ died. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. So he now lives to make intercession for us. God accomplished all of that. And that brought us down to, well, the third part is that we need to believe, right? We need to accept the truth of what God has said. And as it says in verse 13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what we need to do. That's all that is left, is for us to believe and to call out in simple faith. And I read a story not too long ago about a guy named Tom and his friend and his friend's dad, and they were out, they were like in a boat off the coast of the Philippines and in some of those little islands. And to make a long story short, there was a storm and it capsized their boat, and they were clinging to the hull of that boat for 3 days waiting for rescue, until on the third day they saw a cargo ship that was going to pass very close to them. And you can imagine the desperation in their voice as they yelled out, trying to get attention. They had like a tarp that they were waving, anything, right? Anything to be rescued. They were just calling out to be rescued. And that's what God is wanting us to do. In simple faith, call out to him for salvation. And that is our part in this. This is the plan of God for your salvation. Jesus died on the cross for you. He rose again. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Paul has gone through this in the book of Romans, right? He's laid all of this out very clearly. But when we get to Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Paul looks out at Israel in his day and says, something went wrong because they're not saved. Something in this whole process went wrong. And he says, I know that because Israel is not saved. And he says, they're not saved, so therefore something happened. Something went wrong. Back in 2001, NASA launched their Genesis space probe. So they had spent $264 million making this space probe. And they sent it out and they launched it into space with the mission of collecting solar wind particles, which are, they're like charged particles that the sun emits. It's the things that they come from the sun, and when they interact with Earth's magnetic field, they create the northern lights. How many of you saw those this summer? Yeah, or I guess this fall too, but right, so those charged particles, they sent this probe out to do that. So it spent 3 years traveling out past the orbit of the moon, collecting things, collecting data, and however you collect charged particles, it was doing that. It had some like special collectors that when the sensors on this probe alerted it, it would deploy these special collectors that would collect whatever they were looking for. Right? So it's out there for 3 years doing all of this. And then in the spring of 2004, it finished its collection phase, and then it started the reentry phase. So they took like all the collectors and all that was gathered, and they put it in a special capsule, this probe did, and that capsule was then going to be launched back toward Earth. So all that takes place, and it happens. And the plan was to be very careful on its reentry, and they didn't want it to hit the ground because it was so sensitive. So they had a whole plan where it would be caught by a helicopter. So as it reentered, the first thing that was going to happen is at 21 miles above the ground, the capsule was going to deploy a parachute. That parachute would start to slow its descent. Then at 4.2 miles above the Earth, a parasail would then deploy to slow it even further. And at that point, they had a helicopter waiting that had a special hook that was going to catch that thing before it hit the ground. They're like, this thing cannot hit the ground or it's going to ruin all of it. Well, it never slowed down at all. The parasail didn't deploy. The parachute didn't deploy. That thing plowed into the Arizona desert going 200 miles an hour. it didn't fare very well. They recovered some things from it, but definitely not as much as they were hoping to. And can you imagine? They put $264 million into this. It was out there for 3 years doing its thing, and then they lose it all, right? And so they're looking at it going, what went wrong, right? They were like, we need to figure out what happened. So they started to investigate all the details and kind of piece it together, and they began to trace the problem back. They're like, why didn't the parasail ever open? Why didn't the parachute open? And they put a 16-person investigation team on this. And what they found out was that they had, in this capsule, there were four accelerometers. I think two of them were supposed to do something and two of them were backup in case the first two didn't work. But they're small. They're about the size of like a pencil eraser and like a small cylinder. And they found out that all four of them had been installed backwards, which means they wouldn't work. And in the article I read, it said it's like a pencil eraser with connectors on either end, and it's somewhat hard to tell which end is which, right? It wasn't clear on those. Someone stuck them in backwards, all four of them. So even the backups didn't work. So they go through all of this and figure this out. One of the questions they asked, though, was not only what went wrong, but why didn't we catch this in time, right? They did all these tests on this thing, and they never caught that this thing was not going to work. And so they did all of that, right? Asking all these questions. In Romans chapter 10, Paul is asking some questions. And the important thing, I think, for us to understand in Romans chapter 10 is that Paul is catching this in time for the people of Israel in his day. And as he writes this letter, he's like, listen, we've caught the problem in time. There's still time to do something about it. And if you're here this morning and you are not saved, you've caught it in time, right? There's still time to do something about it. But we need to figure out what went wrong. And so that's the question we're going to ask. It's a question of investigation. What went wrong? What went wrong with our salvation? Of course, we know sin went wrong, right? That's the problem, that we're all sinners. Paul's dealt with this. He's proven the fact that every single person is a sinner. There is none righteous. No, not one. We all are right there as sinners. We know that went wrong, but also, if a person's not saved, then something went wrong with the solution. And in these verses, in our passage, God's going to work with us to trace the issue back through the process of salvation. And we're going to try to understand what went wrong with the purpose of, what are we going to do about it? Right? How can we make it so it doesn't go wrong? So we're going to start in verse 14. If you'll look there with me, verse 14. Because verse 14 and 15 give us this process that we're talking about, the process of salvation, how it's supposed to work. Verse 14, it says, well, how shall they call on him? Right? Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So, first there's a person calls out to the Lord, right? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Person calls out in faith for God to save them. All right. They call, it says, because they have believed, right? They've trusted in Jesus Christ, so they call out for him to save them. They believe, it says, because they've heard the gospel. And they've heard the gospel because someone has preached the gospel to them. And a person has preached the gospel to them because that person has been sent out to preach the gospel. So we have this whole kind of breakdown of this process. But if you look in verse 17, it simplifies it a bit for us into like the three essential parts. So then faith for salvation cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? So the word of God is proclaimed, a person hears it, and then a person believes. And the Bible says if those three things happen, then that person is saved. They hear the gospel, and they believe on it, and they are saved, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So go with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I want to look at a real-life example of this taking place in a person's life. So we can see this process in action. Acts chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 26. We're going to read all the way down through verse 39. So it's a longer passage. But you'll see all of this in play. So Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Philip's a believer. He's someone who's out there going around preaching the gospel. And so the Lord says unto him, arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. So he is sent out. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So Philip is sent. He preaches the gospel. This man hears it. Verse 36, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And there's the whole process, right, of it working the way it's supposed to. That a man is sent, the man preaches the gospel. The Ethiopian eunuch hears it, he believes, and he calls upon the name of the Lord, and he is saved. So this is how the process is supposed to work. But in Israel's case, Paul's looking at and go, what happened? Because they are not saved. The ending for Israel is not the same as it is in Acts chapter 8 for this Ethiopian eunuch. There's a different ending. We have a different result that takes place. What happened? What went wrong? And so back in Romans chapter 10, in verse 16, Paul starts this process of investigation. He says, all right, we're going to go through and we're going to figure out where in this process something went wrong. Paul starts in verse 16 at the end and goes through to the beginning. We're going to go the other way. We're going to start at the beginning and work toward the end. So for a few verses, we're going to go backwards through our passage. But we're going to ask three questions, right? To figure out what went wrong. Here's the first question. Number one, was the gospel preached? All right? The gospel needs to be preached. Was the gospel preached? Well, in verse 18, he says, but I say, have they not heard? And then he says, yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth and their words unto the ends of the world. So the sound went into all the earth and their words unto the ends of the world. Was the gospel preached to them? Was it in their vicinity? Was it near them? Because if it didn't make it to them, if the gospel never made it to Israel, then it kind of stops right there, right? Because they're not going to know what to do. They're not going to know about Jesus. They're not going to know to believe. If it didn't make it to them, then it's not going to matter, right? It's like when you, in the next couple of weeks, when you go to start your snowblower, hopefully it's a little later than that, but maybe you're preparing, right? So you go out there to start your snowblower. The first thing you're going to do is be like, well, let's see if it's got gas in it, right? Because if you don't put gas in your snowblower, then nothing else is going to matter. You can pull on the cord all you want. It's not going to start if there's no gas, right? So that's what we're checking. The very first thing, did the gospel go to Israel? And so what Paul does is he quotes Psalm 19. And I want you to turn there with me. Psalm 19, he quotes a passage in the first couple verses of Psalm 19. And we're going to read the whole extended context of his quote. Psalm 19 and verse 1. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And then here's his quote. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he hath set a tabernacle for the sun. So this is what Paul is quoting, this passage. And I think there's two applications to this. The first one is what it mentions in Psalm 19, that the heavens declare the glory of God. That nature is this message from God to them that goes to everyone, right? It goes throughout the whole world. And in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it talks about that the witness of creation is this beginning testimony to God of God that declares who God is to them, that God exists. And from that, it's supposed to instill in them a desire to want to know more. And I think when we talked about this, I used the example of like samples at BJ's or Costco's, right? It's there for you to want it and buy more and to have get more of that, right? That's what creation is. It's for us to look at and go, there is a God. I want to know more about this God. I want a relationship with God. And Paul is saying, that's gone to Israel. Israel sees nature and creation and all of that. But I think it's even more than that. I think also what he's talking about when he says that the sound has gone out through all the world, I think he's talking about the work of the disciples and the Christians of the early church to preach the gospel throughout the whole world. Because in the book of Acts, we have this chronicle of the disciples taking the gospel and being scattered by persecution, but going everywhere. Because this is what God wanted. He said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He tells them at the beginning of the book of Acts, go everywhere and be witnesses to me. And they did, right? They went throughout all the world. And we have some historical record of where some of these disciples went. There was, of course, a lot of activity in the Middle East, right, around Israel in that area. But Thomas, we have record that he went all the way to India, preached the gospel in India. Matthew traveled to Ethiopia. Andrew went into Turkey and then into Russia. Simon traveled extensively, a lot of places, but he made it into Europe. And these guys, they went everywhere and they took the gospel to the known world in their time. So has the gospel been preached? Yes, it has. Yes, it had been in Israel's day. And yes, it has been in our day. The gospel has been preached throughout the world. God built knowledge of himself into creation. And then he looked at the disciples and he looks at us and says, you go and preach the gospel to every creature. So that's worked fine. The gospel has gone forth. Israel had heard the gospel. The gospel had been preached to Israel, right? So that's the first question. Was the gospel preached? Because that's part of the process. Answer is yes, right? It's been preached. So second question, did Israel hear? And this is back in Romans chapter 10, verse 18. Have they not heard? And his answer is yes, verily, right? They have heard. One of the most annoying things is hearing someone say the word what, especially as, you've just spent 5 minutes and you've explained something. You've gone through the details and you've been very clear and you have repeated yourself to make sure they understand. And you've looked them in the eyes and you said, all right, this is what you have to do in all of this. You get done and they go, what? You're like, I'm not doing this. I have to explain this all over again. I sometimes find myself guilty of saying what. Usually it's because I only half listened. And I did hear, but like it takes a moment for it to process that I did hear. And so in that time, I just go, what? And I go, oh, no, I did hear, right? Israel did hear, right? Even though they may not have recognized what they heard, but Paul says, yeah, they heard, right? And I mean, how could they not hear about Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ was a big disruption in their society and in their culture, in their religion. The death of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Christ, this was big news that people would have heard about. It'd be like you talking to someone and be like, hey, did you hear about the election? And they go, election? There's an election going on? Like, how could you not hear that there was an election? It's everywhere. This would be like them saying, what? Jesus? Who's Jesus? No, they would have known about Jesus. They would have heard of all of that. So, right, we can check a couple things off. Was the gospel preached? Yeah, the gospel was preached. And Paul says, well, did Israel hear about Jesus? And yeah, they heard about Jesus. So that brings us then back to verse 16. Because the last thing we need to ask is, well, did they believe? Because they need the gospel preached to them, they need to hear it, and then they need to believe. So the last question we have to ask is, did they believe? And look in verse 16. They have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? They didn't believe. This is where the problem is. So go with me back to Isaiah 53, because this is what Paul is quoting in verse 16, where he says, Lord, who hath believed our report? It's from Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is it's a well-known chapter in the book of Isaiah, and it is a prophecy of the death of Jesus Christ on our behalf. So in Isaiah 53, if we look in verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. This is what Jesus did for us. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that's what this chapter is about. It's about Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for us. The mission of Jesus Christ to come to earth for us. But the chapter starts this way in verse 1. It says, who hath believed our report and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Which is what Paul quotes. Who's speaking in this chapter? Who's the one talking? Who's the one saying who hath believed our report and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You know who it is? It's Israel speaking. Because they're the ones that say in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. All right, this is being spoken from Israel's perspective. But look in verse 2. So here's from their perspective. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. That was their reaction to Jesus Christ, that they would look at him and go, there's nothing, we don't see anything in him that we want. There's nothing desirable in him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. There was nothing that we saw in him that really drew us to him. They rejected Jesus Christ. They did not believe. And that's the answer to Paul's question. Israel didn't believe. That's the problem. Faith is the capstone of salvation. That's what we saw last week, that God did everything. And then he says, okay, I've taken care of everything else, every detail of your salvation. I have paid for your sins. I have purchased forgiveness with Jesus Christ. He is now in heaven waiting to intercede on your behalf. You need to believe, right? That final piece that needs to be put into place to make everything work as it's supposed to is your faith, that you believe in Jesus Christ. Without faith, there is no salvation. Romans chapter 9, if you go back to the previous chapter, Romans chapter 9 and verse 31, Paul's been trying to get this across for a while to them. Romans chapter 9 and verse 31, that he says, Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. They've been trying to be righteous by the law, by their works, and they haven't gotten there. They haven't gotten saved. And he says, wherefore, in verse 32, because they sought it not by faith, because they were trying some other way, but not faith. The Bible says the way to salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. It's the only way that works. They've been trying another way, and there's two paths you can take. There's one of the path of works, which is what Israel tried. The other path is faith in Jesus Christ. Only one of those paths arrives at the destination of salvation, and that is when you choose faith in Jesus Christ. It's the only way. There is only one path to salvation. Israel had been trying works, and Paul says in chapter 10 and verse 2 that it's zeal without knowledge. It's all the work, but they don't know what they're doing. They don't know the right way. And so this is really where it all broke down, that they didn't believe. They didn't trust in Jesus Christ. When the gospel was preached to them and they heard the gospel, they didn't believe. And in John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. He looked at them and was very clear. And he says, if you don't believe, you will die in your sins. Right? Period. There is nothing else. If you don't believe, this is what will happen to you. John chapter 3 and verse 18. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You're condemned already if you don't believe. This is where it all falls apart. Unbelief. Not choosing not to trust in Jesus Christ. And so this is the conclusion that Paul brings it down to, that without faith there cannot be salvation. And if you're here this morning and you know that you're not saved, then this process has broken down. And we know where it has broken down. It's with your unbelief. But that means if we know where it has broken down, it makes the process of fixing it a lot easier. Because we know what needs to change. We know what needs to be different. You just need to call upon the name of the Lord in faith, and he will save you. But Paul does one more thing. He tests the conclusion, right? So we've gone all the way through the process and investigated and found out that, yeah, the gospel was preached, and yes, it was heard, but they didn't believe, right? That's where we think the problem is. So Paul says, well, let's check. And what he's going to do is, we've been talking about Israel, so he says, let's test it on another group. And so look in verse 20. He talks about another nation in verse 19, and he's talking about the Gentiles, those who are not Jewish. And he says in verse 20, Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me. This is a quote from Isaiah 65 in verse 1. I was sought of them that asked not for me. I was found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. So God said, I reached out to a different nation, not the nation of Israel, a different nation. And he said, they found me. They found me by faith. They believed in me and they were saved. And we looked at the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. There's another story from the book of Acts. So turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. So we know that if it works, if all parts of the process work, are in place and work with another nation, then we know that our conclusion was correct. So in Acts chapter 11, there's the story of a man named Cornelius, who was a Gentile, and he was seeking the Lord. The Bible says he prayed a lot, and he was very devout. He was very religious. He feared God, and he prayed to God, but he wasn't saved. Right? He had never believed on Jesus Christ for his salvation. He didn't know the gospel. So as he prays, God directs him to Peter, right? One of the disciples who knew the gospel. Peter shares Jesus Christ with this man, Cornelius. Cornelius trusts in Jesus Christ. And then we have the conclusion in Acts chapter 11 and verse 17. As like they discuss this and they talk about what happened with Cornelius, Acts chapter 11 and verse 17, here's what Peter comes down to. He says, for as much then as God gave them, or the Gentiles, the like gift as he did unto us, the Jewish people, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying that then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And they looked at him and said, you know what? We preached the gospel to him. He heard it, and he believed, and they're like, God saved him. This Gentile man went through the process, everything was in place, and God saved him, and they rejoiced that even this Gentile was able to be saved. And you know what we see both in the Ethiopian eunuch and in Cornelius is that the process works. If you go through the process, the gospel is preached to you, you hear the gospel, and you believe in Jesus Christ, it works. God saves people that believe in him. But if we go back to Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10 and verse 21, here's how Paul brings this to a close. He says, after God was sought and found by the Gentiles, verse 21, but to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people. He says, you know what the difference is? That the Gentiles sought God, and Israel, though God reached out to them, have been disobedient and resisted God. That's the difference. He's quoting Isaiah 65 and verse 2. I have spread out my hands all day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. And that right there is the problem. That they're trying to do it their way. And that could be the problem here this morning, that you're trying to do it your way. That you have your thoughts about the gospel and your thoughts about salvation and your thoughts about how to get to heaven and all the way it should work. But the Bible says it's not about your way, it's about God's way. It's you doing what God has said, that you would obey the gospel and do what God has told us to do. And there is this process. And this morning, if we go through the process in your life, we would ask the question, number one, has the gospel been preached to you? And that's what I'm doing this morning, right? So yes, we would say, yes, the gospel has been preached to you. Number two, have you heard, right? And if you're here and you're listening this morning, then yes, you've heard the gospel, that Jesus died for your sins, he was buried and he rose again. And now he says, believe on him and you'll be saved, all right? That is the essence of the gospel. So we would say, yeah, you have heard the gospel. The last question that we need to ask is, have you believed? Have you believed? Right? Have you? That's where it comes down to this morning. We've made our way all the way through the process of salvation, and now the last question is, what have you done? Have you believed, or have you decided to reject it? Right? And so you're presented with this choice to finish it or to leave it undone, to trust in Jesus Christ or to not. And what this means is that it's up to you, which means you don't have to wait for anyone else. Sometimes we find ourselves waiting in line at the grocery store and you're waiting for the person in front of you. And I never do a lot of grocery shopping, so I always have like two things. And the person in front has the whole grocery cart full. And you just have to stand there and go, well, thank you, Lord, for teaching me patience today. And all of these things, right? And so, but you have to wait for the other person to finish whatever they're doing before you can do your thing. Everything's done. It is up to you, right? It is your decision. You are the last person to make that choice. The choice simply is, believe in Jesus Christ. It's up to you. And there is no better feeling in the world than knowing that everything worked together and that it's done, that it's finished, that the process is over and you are saved, that you know that you're right with God, that you know that your sins have been forgiven, that you know that you have a home in heaven, that you know that everything is right with you and God. There is no better feeling than that. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's what God offers, the knowledge that you are saved, that you can know that you are saved. But what went wrong, right? That's our question. What went wrong? What went wrong with Israel? Well, their unbelief. And what went wrong? If you are not saved this morning, we know where it went wrong. We know what has broken down. And it's always because of unbelief. It's because of a decision that you've made to not trust. But then we know how to fix it. The simple decision to trust in Jesus Christ to save you and to call upon him. And we have Romans 10:13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you have believed in Jesus Christ, well, then nothing's gone wrong. It went exactly how it's supposed to. Jesus did everything that he did for you, and you did what you were supposed to do. You obeyed the gospel, you trust in Jesus Christ, and nothing's gone wrong. And in fact, we would say everything's never been more right than it is in your life right now. And you know, that's what God wants for every single person. You know, we've taken so much time going through the book of Romans and talking about the gospel. You know why? Because this is what God wants for you. And this is the most important thing in your life. To know that you are saved, to know that your eternity is safe in the hands of God. And that's what God offers. That's why the gospel has been preached. That's why you've heard the gospel. And now the question is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to believe? Let's close with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ and for the gospel. We thank you that he died on the cross for us, that he rose again. Lord, we pray that you would help those that are here this morning that are not saved to make that decision to trust in you and simply call out to you, knowing that you have promised that you will save them. Lord, I pray that you would work in hearts this morning. Lord, that you would convict and that you would bring a real sense of need to people's hearts this morning. And Lord, may people trust in you and call upon you for their salvation. Lord, we thank you for your promise. You save every single person that comes to you in faith. Lord, we ask now that you'd work in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.